Hey guys, welcome to the George Jett Podcast. Today we have DJ Decade on the phone. Hey DJ Decade, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
All right, pretty good, man. I hear you have an echo there, but we're going to do the podcast with the echo. So DJ Decade is a mobile DJ here in South Florida, and he does all different type of events. And we're just going to talk about a couple of different things that we have in our mind. You posted a little bit of a rant on social media about DJs asking for music. And I know the background that you're saying, because you're basically saying that these people have no business taking or accepting a gig, but they're asking for music because they don't have it. So I'm going to ask you anyway, how do you feel about DJs asking for music in social media DJ forums?
Well, here's what I meant, because a lot of people took what I said the wrong way and didn't understand what I was trying to say. I don't mind if you're asking for help with something, but don't come out of the blue and say, hey, I have this gig, you know, what I need your whole collection of music, or I need your reggaeton folder, I need your, you know, hip hop folder or top 40 folder, whatever folder you need. Don't come with that. But if you're taking a gig, you should already know what the client wants, from meeting with the client, from what the venue wants, management tells you. But don't come and say, oh, I have this gig or this wedding or this party or whatever, I don't want to play. What should I play? That just looks horrible. One, for you as a DJ, and two, other professional DJs are gonna rank on you and be like, why are you taking this gig when you don't even know what to do for the gig?
Right. Most of these DJs that are asking are DJs either that are starting out, or some are experienced DJs that don't have a specific genre of music. So what I have a problem is when a DJ that says, hey, I have a wedding, it's an Indian wedding, and I need suggestions for Bollywood, right, Bhangra type music. Mm-hmm. Could you give me your music or tell me what the best songs are? And they're accepting these gigs.
Yep.
And the client doesn't know that the DJ they hired has no clue what music to play at their wedding.
Exactly.
And that's the problem I have. As far as asking for music and folders, you know, these people are new. And I always respond with, you're starting out as a DJ. You need to join a record pool. Mm-hmm. There's XMix. There's Promo Only out there. And you can subscribe to one of those services and you'll have the music you have to play.
I mean, even they can go buy a hard drive on OfferUp or Craigslist right now for $100. That's full of music. You know, I don't know how good the music is or what it has in it, but they advertise online all the time, you know, $100 for a 1 terabyte hard drive full of music.
Right. They probably did that already, you know, and they're just want to add a little bit more current music to their list.
But I mean, if you're coming into a profession, you need certain tools in order to do the job correctly.
It's like,
if I take a job as a mechanic, I need to know what I need to bring to the job to make sure I'm able to perform the job to full potential. To get the tools, I need to get, you know, proper training. I need to, you know, shadow somebody to learn. I need to, you know, join whatever group they have to you know, learn and get mentored by. So there's so many different routes. A new DJ coming into the scene could take by saying, hey, Decade, hey, George Jett, you know, I'm looking to become a DJ, you know, would you mind if I shadow you for a couple of times, see what you do, and that, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. I would have no problem with someone to shadow me and learn. Have no problem.
Right. And usually you do get some of these people that will ask you to shadow you and learn from experience. I know I learn, believe it or not, with DJ Laz. I used to like go to his events and check him out. And I learned a lot of the style from him. And then Javier was another guy that, that I shadowed, and I learned from them. And even to this date, I still use some of the techniques that I learned from them and the music style and format. But, you know, again, social media technology has all changed. So people they want instant gratification. They want to go in Google and type in, you know, find me all the reggaeton songs that are number one, and I want it in the zip file, and I want to dump it in my hard drive, and I want to go do that event.
Right.
And they just want instant gratification. Well, let me see. Let's go to the next topic.
Hold on 1 second, because let me say one more thing, though. I mean, like George said before, There's so many record pools out there, so many sources to get music from. I mean, if you don't know, ask, you know, hey, what are good record pools to join? What do you recommend for me to join? You join 5, 3, 10, you know, depending on how much music you really want and need, you know, or if one's not fulfilling your needs, join another one.
Join another one.
Right.
All right. So we beat this one in the head several times. We got 7 minutes on the clock. So we're going to go on to the next topic. Uh-huh. The next topic is going to be, let's see. Open format. So a lounge bar / small club calls you up and says, play open format music. Uh-huh. How do you make yourself known as a DJ and differentiate yourself to show your skills or the style of DJ you are if you are playing mainstream music? Go ahead.
Well, in my case, I hardly ever play original tracks. I'm always playing remixes of the popular songs. That's my style. I'm not a scratching DJ. I'm not one of those you know, beat juggling DJs. I'm a mixer. You know, I blend. You know, I mix. You know, this and that. So me, as far as a DJ and someone, I'm playing open format. I'm playing remixes. I'm playing, you know, quick edits, hype edits, different things that normal DJ probably would not play, you know, but I'm playing.
Okay.
That's how I differentiate myself, at least.
Right. Yeah. I've heard your style and I like your style because you keep it upbeat. So you are playing, you know, hard hitters. And even if you're playing like the hip hop classics or whatever, you're playing a remix version and it's really good. I've noticed that when you're playing and I go to your events, no one really goes up to you and says, hey, play this.
Right.
You know, because you're playing all the right music. So, you know, you're a well-established DJ, so I can see why you're good at what you do. Do you think that is sufficient to differentiate yourself from another DJ playing similar to you or playing remixes, since most DJs play remixes?
I don't think it differentiates myself that much, but most DJs that I've gone to hear, I've heard them play mostly the original tracks. I hear them play a couple remixes, but mostly they're playing original tracks with an intro and that's it. But they're not playing, you know, different edits like I'm playing or I have that makes it sound different.
Right.
But I'm not saying I'm different or it differentiates me that much.
Right.
But that differentiates me from, in my eyes, from most people.
Okay. Now, you did mention once that there was this new style of DJs that just basically cut the music in. They don't beat mix the music.
Correct.
They just cut it in. Mm-hmm. Give me more information on that.
Well, I mean, I've heard, you know, a couple of DJs and I've heard their mixes. They're like, oh, new mix out, blah, blah, blah. I listen to it because I like the DJ. He's a good DJ. And I hear their mix. I'm like, I'm waiting for the blend. I'm waiting for the mix. I'm waiting for, you know, I'm waiting for that. And all I hear is it cut. Cut.
Right. Cut.
I'm like, there's not even scratching, not nothing, just
nothing.
It's just another. I'm like,
right.
You know, is that acceptable? Is that what people or people don't care? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the party goers really care how you beat mix or how you cut. Other DJs will say, oh my God, this guy doesn't know how to beat mix or he's throwing horses or he's scratching or he doesn't know how to scratch or he's horrible or whatever.
Right.
But the average party goer really don't care. As long as you're playing the right music, that's about it. You and I have an experience that we went to see a fellow DJ.
Yep.
And she was basically one of those knob turners where, you know, she spent, you know, 5 minutes tweaking the knobs and we thought she was going to like throw this massive mix and she just cut from one deck to another.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
So all the button twisting and all the button and all the pageantry was all fake. Well, not fake. But it had nothing to do with what she was actually mixing.
True. And now you brought up a good point about scratching, and that's something I want to talk about because it's been a topic that I've been seeing a lot, and I hear a lot of DJs are, you know, scratching, like, you know, throughout the whole mix or whole song, like 5 minute scratches, and it's like, is that really, you know, what it's coming down to? I mean,
I don't think so.
Like Jazzy Jeff, Scratch Bastard. I mean, they are turntablists, Q-Bert. But
Correct.
Going to a club or going to a bar, lounge, restaurant, whatever, wherever your DJ is, and this guy's scratching pretty much the whole time. I mean, I don't want to hear that.
Right. Well, it all depends. Again, if you're, were you at a lounge? Were you at a club that was that they announced the DJ was a turntablist or something?
Nobody announced it, but
no, it was just a regular
guys location. Guys are scratching, one after another. It's like, okay. No.
Now, let me ask you this. What were the partygoers doing?
Looking at the DJ kind of weird.
Okay, so in your eyes, the guy was pretty bad?
No, he could scratch, but if you're playing for a wide demographic of people, okay? You got people who don't even know what a turntable is or what scratching is, first of all. And people are coming there to hear a certain type of certain music, but you can't even hear the music because the guy's scratching throughout the whole track.
Right. I haven't experienced that. I mean, I am a scratch DJ, but
yeah, I know that.
I haven't experienced where a person is scratching the whole track. I can see maybe scratching it at the beginning, maybe a little bit in the middle and at the end or something like that, or doing a backspin or something. But I haven't seen a DJ that just constantly scratches. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Unless it's like you said, Scratch Bastard or you know, Q-Bird or somebody that you're going there to see his skills.
Exactly, yeah.
I haven't experienced that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you scratch, I mean, how do you scratch?
Well, I mean, it all depends on the event, you know.
Let's say you're playing at a bar.
If I'm playing at a bar and I'm doing, like, say, mashups, and I have a crowd that's actually reacting to what I'm doing, mm-hmm. I will start showing off, you know, either mashing up like rock and roll and hip hop, you know, live, not just playing mashups, but doing something that's showcasing me as a DJ, showcasing my skills as a talent. But I'm not going to go and scratch the whole time. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So the next question is, they hire you to play music at an event or a venue. And what is your pet peeve?
These venues, they hire you and are like, I want you to play hip hop. Hip hop only. And you get there, you start playing hip hop and the crowd is not
a hip hop crowd.
Hip hop crowd. And it's like, then I go and play, you know, something that they're going to react to. And then they come to me, don't play hip hop. Or only play hip hop. Don't play this. Change it. I'm like, first of all, you have a full packed dance floor right now in your club. Before, nobody was dancing. I have a full packed dance floor. Now you want me to change it? It's like, you know, it's like you're hiring a DJ who's a professional who's coming to your club to DJ for you. Let the DJ do their job. I'm not telling the owner how to do his job or the bartender how to do their job because they know what they're doing. So don't tell me, you know, don't play hip hop or don't play this or don't play that. I've had it several times. There's one bar that you know very well, George, that I used to work at.
Right.
And it was like, don't play hip hop. It draws the wrong crowd.
Right.
I'm like,
but when you were playing the hip hop, everybody was banging. Everybody was having a great time. Exactly. Then you switch it out and nobody's doing nothing.
Yep.
Right.
It's like, really? Yeah. I mean, you know, just let the DJ do his job. I mean,
right. And those things are very hard to handle.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do what the manager says, then you technically can get fired. What I'm always scared about is that they always have cameras there and they can see a recording or whatever, you know, that maybe the higher ups can say, well, let's see how this DJ did that night. Let's see if it was packed or not.
Right.
And then they see, well, this guy's playing, but nobody's interacting. Let's not hire this guy ever again.
Correct.
So then you get fired, you know, for listening to the manager because you didn't pack the dance floor.
Right.
Or people weren't enjoying it. And and you can't really argue. You can't say, well, right. Oh, it's happened to me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you a couple of stories. I remember clearly one day where the owner of the establishment used to show up after 12 o'clock and I started at 10:30 or 10 o'clock, depending on, you know, on, cause it was a restaurant. And then after that, they converted it over and I used to pack the place up playing hip hop because outside of this location, there was a line starting to form. And these people would come in the location because I was playing hip hop and they would order their Hennessy. They would order all these high end drinks. and it was bringing money into the bar, but they were going to leave anyway. They were going to leave like in 45 minutes because the other club they were really going to opened up at 12, an hour after I started. Uh-huh. So I used to bring these people in by playing hip hop. The bartenders loved it because they were making tips,
right,
and the location was making money because I know Hennessy and all that stuff is expensive. But the owner says, I don't want those people here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, apparently you don't want to make money.
Right.
You know, and they said, oh, yeah, no, I want to make money. I go, well, if you want to make money, I'm bringing the people in and they're consuming.
Yep.
Oh, well, I don't want you to play that music. I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. And another day in the same bar, the owner and the friends of the owner, they were going to go see Mamma Mia. They were a big fan of the ABBA group.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to play ABBA. Now, I don't mind playing the ABBA song because it was an open format bar.
Right.
I played one song and then she ran to me and said, could you play another one? I'm like, okay, I'll play in a little bit. No, play it now. I'm like, okay, I'll play another ABBA song.
Right.
So I finished that ABBA song and she came back again, play another ABBA song. So I said, okay, you want three ABBA songs in a row? Guess what? Now you're going to get the whole album.
Uh-huh.
So what I did was I created a folder. Now get this. By the third or fourth song of ABBA, people were starting to leave.
Of course.
Okay? Because now I was playing ABBA songs that people have no clue what they are unless they know who ABBA is.
Yep.
So I made a playlist of I typed ABBA on my computer and I loaded up all the originals. I put them in a playlist and I played them back to back to back to back.
Right.
She sent over one of her drunk friends saying, don't play any more ABBA. We're done with ABBA. Guess what I did? I continued playing ABBA.
Good.
Like it or not, if I was going to get fired, who cares? But that goes to show me that if I'm bringing people into your establishment to consume only for an hour, okay, for them to order their Hennessy's and order all the expensive stuff they want to eat, drink.
Right.
And you don't want those type of people in here in your establishment to cover the expense of hiring me as a DJ or to make money and the bartenders are enjoying it, then you know what? You know, they just don't really give a shit. They don't care about the DJs. They don't care about anything else. They just care about themselves and they really don't care about their own business.
Right.
And it's a shame.
Yeah. I have one last topic that I want to discuss.
All right, go ahead.
I just thought about real quick. What do you think about these venues that say, well, we want to book you, but how many people can you bring? How many followers do you have? I'm like, what? What does that have to do with anything?
Well,
I'm a DJ. I'm not the promoter. I'm not the owner. I can promote to make a flyer and promote the night, whatever, but I can't guarantee I can bring anybody. You know, that's what I tell the people. They're like, oh, if you can't bring 100 people, then we can't book you. But back in the day.
Right. They're looking for an artist. They want an artist to go there as an artist DJ and to bring people in. That's why they're asking you. Again, you have a very good website and you have a website that's very impressive with a lot of information. You have mixes. You have a great bio in there. So they probably went to your site. They saw that you had a following on your social media, that you have a following on your mixes. They saw a good website and they said, this guy's good. So let's hire him. And then when they ask you how much people you can bring, you said, no, I'm not bringing nobody in. I'm just the DJ. They were just probably confused.
I said, I can't guarantee I can bring one person, 10 people, 100 people. I can advertise and promote it. That's all I can do. But I can't guarantee that if I say I'm playing tonight, that all my friends are going to come.
Right. Yeah. You know? But again, I think that's a miscommunication. I think that's because they went to your site. And like I said before, they thought you were a big shot DJ with a following and you couldn't produce that.
Wherever I worked, I told them where I worked, this and that. Like, they're like, oh, awesome. But it's not like we can't hire you if you can't bring anybody in. Okay.
That's fine.
But back in the day, you know, if you wanted to get a gig at a venue, you had to audition. You had to, you know, come out there, audition for 15, 30 minutes.
But then you're talking about 30 years ago or more.
At least,
Where there was very limited DJs and DJs actually had to buy vinyl. And you would have to actually show up with your, you know, four or five vinyls and actually show that you can do the job. And that's not the case now.
No, I know that.
The bars are looking for the cheapest possible entertainment that they can hire.
Yep.
And that's the case.
Yeah. It's sad, though, you know?
No, it's, you know, things evolve, you know? It's an evolution. Things change. You know, before we didn't have Uber, we didn't have smartphones, we didn't have, you know, desktop computers or watches that we can speak into. There's, you know, Bluetooth. We didn't have any of that. So technology changes and it becomes the mainstream.
Yeah.
And you just got to follow the flow.
I guess so.
All right. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap up this podcast, DJ Decade. Make sure you guys go to
Instagram at DJ Decade, or you can go to my website, DJDecade.com.
All right, guys, my name is George Jett. I'll see you guys on the next podcast.